Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 20, Text 42. Sharad Arkham Sujang Stapan. Bhutanam Urdupo Harat. Deha Bhimana Jang Bodho. Mukunda Vraja Yoshitam. Sharadakam Sujang Stapan. Bhutanam Urdupo Harat. Deha Bhimana Jang Bodho. Braja Yoshitam. Translation: the autumn moon relieved all creatures of the suffering caused by the sun's rays, just as wisdom relieves a person of the misery caused by his identifying with the material body, and as Lord Mukunda relieves Vrindavan's ladies of the distress caused by their separation from him. Text 43. Kama Shobhata Nirmegam Sharad Vimala Tarakam Sattva Yuktam Yatachitam Shabda Brahmarta Darshanam. Translation: free of clouds and filled with clearly visible stars, the autumn sky shone brilliantly, just like the spiritual consciousness of one who has directly experienced the purport of the Vedic scriptures. Purport: the clear and starry autumn sky can also be compared to the pure heart of the devotee. The spiritual nature is always brilliant, clean, and blissful, and this spiritual nature called Vaikuntha immediately satisfies all the desires of the soul. This is the secret of Krishna consciousness. Text 44. Akanda mandalo vyomi rara jodu ganayashashi yatayadu pati krishno vrishni chakra vrito bhuvi. The full moon shone in the sky, surrounded by stars, just as Sri Krishna, the lord of the Yadu dynasty, shone brilliantly on the earth, surrounded by all the Vrishnis. Purport: Srila Sanatan Goswami explains that in Vrindavan the full moon is eternally risen, and this full moon is like the full manifestation of the absolute truth, Sri Krishna. When he was manifest on earth, Lord Krishna was surrounded by prominent members of the Vrishni dynasty such as Nanda, Upananda, Vasudeva, and Akrura. So again, various comparisons between the different aspects of nature in the autumn season and different aspects of Krishna consciousness. So the first verse we read, this one, describes how the moon relieves the suffering caused by the sun's rays. So this is compared to the wisdom, spiritual knowledge, relieving a person from the miseries of material existence. It's a very important comparison, because here in the material world everyone is suffering in one way or another from the miseries of material existence. Some are suffering intensely, some are suffering not so intensely, but that may be just a temporary phase. In any case, everyone is suffering to one degree or another, and to alleviate that suffering we can hear the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, we can hear the pastimes of Lord Krishna, and this enlivens our soul. Nitya Siddha Krishna Premash Sadhya Kabu Noi Shravanadi Sudachita Koryodoi. Love of Godhead is dormant in everyone's heart, It simply has to be awakened by the hearing and chanting process. So this is the medicine then to alleviate the distress of material existence because it awakens the soul and awakens the love for Krishna which is dormant in the soul. Therefore it's a very powerful process. In fact, hearing from this scripture is non-different from Krishna. Krishna is present in the Bhagavatam as it is stated, Idam Bhagavatam Nama Puranam Brahma Samhitam Uttama Sloka Charitam Chakara Bhagavan Rishida. This Srimad Bhagavatam is the literary incarnation of God and is compiled by Vyasadeva, who is the incarnation of God. It is meant for the ultimate good of all people and it is all successful, all blissful and all perfect. So very powerful scriptures, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and when these scriptures are preached by the devotees, then they become even more relevant, we can say, because devotees, especially great acharyas, know how to preach according to time, place and circumstance, how to apply the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita in our lives. It's very important that we hear the scriptures through the disciplic succession and hear and discuss in the association of devotees, because otherwise just directly reading the books without commentary, we can tend to misunderstand. There's a discussion between Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy related in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Chaitanya is asking Ramananda Roy, how can one attain perfection of life? And Ramananda Roy quoted various verses from the Bhagavad Gita, you know, which are all famous verses, such as, you know, yat karosi yat asnasi yat yudosi yudasi yat, all that you do, all that you eat, all you give away, all austerities you perform, do as an offering to me. But Lord Chaitanya, you know, he said, explain further, and he's quoted sarva dharman prajaja mamekam sharanam braja. It's practically the conclusion of the Bhagavad Gita, but still he was saying, you know, explain more. And then Ramananda Roy proposed that one should hear about Krishna, hear the scriptures from bona fide devotee, and under his guidance one should practice Krishna consciousness. And Lord Chaitanya said, yes, this is correct. Because we may hear the verses, but there can be tendency to misunderstand or, you know, subtly place too much emphasis on one aspect or another of Krishna consciousness. When he quoted Yad Karosi Yad Asnasi, Lord Chaitanya said that, well, people may, you know, that they may still maintain a fruitive mentality, even though they're offering the results, they may maintain a fruitive mentality. And when he quoted Sarva Dharmam Paryajya, Lord Chaitanya said they may go to the other extreme and they may give up all their responsibilities in the name of surrendering to Krishna. So, you know, these are subtle kind of ways of understanding the verses, but, you know, persons can use Bhagavad Gita in different ways. Even the impersonalists use Bhagavad Gita to support their philosophy. So that's why you have to hear according to the parampara, according to the bona fide acharyas. And then we also have to see how is it applied in our lives in a practical sense. So that's why we also need to hear from devotees in the present time and discuss the scriptures with them, because how do we engage practically in Krishna service? Arjuna was on a battlefield, but our situation is not the same. Of course, generally speaking, for devotees today, we should serve the Sankirtan movement. And Prabhupada said to serve Krishna in the Kali Yuga means to serve the Sankirtan movement. But even how exactly we should serve it, we need some guidance in order to serve it most effectively. Otherwise it could be tending to concoct our own, you know, ways of service, and sometimes it can be helpful, sometimes not. For example, in India, when the earlier days when devotees were preaching, Prabhupada didn't allow them to go on Harinam Sankirtan and book distribution on the streets. So, you know, we might be thinking, well, I serve the Sankirtan movement, go on Harinam Sankirtan, distribute books. There are many quotes from Prabhupada where he says that, but in a practical application there, he didn't want to, when ISKCON was not very well known, didn't have big temples, he didn't want the devotees to be considered like beggars, because there are many sadhus going around in India, you know, just begging a few paisa to make a living. They make a little pair of kartal, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. They go around from, you know, house to house and beg some alms. So Prabhupada didn't want us to be, you know, misunderstood, you see. So this example of, you know, practical application in a particular circumstance. In the West, sometimes there might be problems with the council somewhere. You know, they're not allowing devotees to do Harinam. I mean, there's some devotee might, you know, come and say, this is all my, all nonsense, we have to do it. It doesn't matter what the council says, etc., etc. This could result in, you know, various kind of problems. So time, place and circumstance, it has to be seen exactly how we should best serve Krishna. But in any case, Krishna consciousness, that is the cure for the ills of material existence, and we need to hear that wisdom regularly, and that's why Prabhupada stressed the importance of classes in Bhagavatam, classes in Gita on a regular basis in the temples, or reading his books on a regular basis. And in one place he says that hearing in the association of devotees is more potent than simply reading. This is one of the purports. I think it's in the first or second chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is the medicine, but we have to take the medicine according to the doctor's instructions. Otherwise he may overdose or underdose or whatever, and then won't get the desired effect. So Lord, also the Adamuni is compared to how Lord Mukunda relieves the distress of the ladies of Vrindavan caused by their separation from him. Yes, naturally that's their aspiration, to associate with Krishna. In separation, their feelings of love for Krishna are greatly intensified, but there's also anxiety there. But when there's meeting, then there's a great feeling of relief and bliss. Another example Prabhupada uses is that material existence is just like a hot day when one has been working hard. So one feels, you know, hot and bothered and maybe perspiring. But when the full moon comes out in the sky, you know, one feels great relief, soothing, cooling feeling. So in the same way, we are struggling in material existence, but the full moon of the Sankirtan movement, it relieves the distresses of material existence. So it is compared to a moon. Prabhupada named the benediction moon, isn't it? That's glorious to Sri Krishna Sankirtan, cleanses the heart of all dust accumulated for years together, and extinguishes the fire of conditioned life of repeated birth and death. So it extinguishes the fire of conditioned life. And Prabhupada named the Mayapur temple the Mayapur Chandradaya Mandir. It's a rising moon of Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya himself appeared on the full moon night on Gaura Purnima. Of course, that was an eclipse, right? Lunar eclipse. That at that time people in India traditionally chant the holy names of the Lord. So everyone is chanting the holy names of the Lord. just at that time when he appeared. And then, of course, after that, the full moon was resplendent in the sky. So the Sankirtan movement is the full moon of Lord Chaitanya, the benediction moon. And then again, the full moon is compared to Lord Krishna, who is, the full moon is surrounded by stars, and the sky is clear, you can see so many stars. So when Lord Krishna appeared, he was surrounded by the Vrishnis, Yadus, Vrishnis, so many personalities who were great devotees, great personalities, such as Nanda, Upananda, Vasudeva, Krura. There's so many of them. And in this way, Krishna's beauty is enhanced. Just like if you get a nice diamond, if it is set in a nice golden ring, then the beauty of the diamond is enhanced, the beauty of the gold is also enhanced. So in this way, when Krishna is surrounded by his devotees, his beauty is enhanced, and also the beauty of the devotees is enhanced naturally. In this way, this mutual benefit. So that is a proper situation for a living entity, to be properly situated in the service of Krishna. And Krishna is pleased, and Krishna's beauty is enhanced when he accepts the service of his devotees. And the devotees are also beautified, and their effulgence shines naturally. They become blissful and enthusiastic in Krishna consciousness. So this is the beauty of Krishna consciousness. It's a very clear and powerful process. And the example here is given that just like the sky is free of clouds and filled with visible stars, so that is compared to the spiritual consciousness of one who is in Krishna consciousness. His consciousness is very brilliant. So that's why devotees look bright and effulgent, whereas non-devotees often look clouded and grey. Prabhupada said that previously my disciples, many of them were hippies, they had long hairs, they didn't take bath regularly, and they looked morose, affected by tamaguna. But now they've taken to Krishna consciousness, they look like angels from Vaikuntha with their neck beads and tilak and dhoti saris, etc. But it's not the neckbead, tilak, dhoti, saris in and of themselves that make the devotees look like angels from Vaikuntha, but it is the Krishna consciousness that is emanating from them. So the more fixed a person is in Krishna consciousness, the more effulgent and spiritually powerful he will be, and the clearer his mind and intelligence will be, because they're very much in tune with Krishna and Krishna's plan, Krishna's desires. And he's able to live harmoniously with devotees because of that. So this is the perfect way to lead one's existence now, while we're in the material world, and also eternally. Now we are preparing to go to that spiritual world. Of course, whether or not we go there is up to Krishna, but we are following the process which leads back to Godhead. And it's a very powerful process, because it puts one in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord then becomes personally manifested in the devotee's life. If he becomes very close and very real to the devotee, and the devotee through his activity is also representing the Lord and manifesting the desires of the Lord. So it's a very privileged position to be a devotee, to be engaged in devotional service, and it's also a great responsibility. And the primary responsibility is to become Krishna conscious oneself. If one is Krishna conscious oneself, then he can help others to become Krishna conscious. A devotee becomes like a touchstone that those who come in contact with him also become affected, and their interest in Krishna consciousness may be awakened through contact with the devotee. So in this way, the more Krishna conscious the devotees are, the more they can influence others. Just as Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was making the point about how quality of one's Krishna consciousness is especially important. Then even if one, say, is a grihastha and has a lot of family affairs to attend to, if he's very Krishna conscious, whatever time he spends preaching Krishna consciousness will be very effective, just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He was such a potent preacher, even though so much of his time was spent in his official duties as a magistrate, in his family affairs with so many children. But still, he was very focused and very Krishna conscious, so he was able to produce so many books and able to, you know, do so much extensive preaching, Namahatta preaching. So in this way, the effect of his preaching is felt by us today also very strongly. So the quality of one's Krishna consciousness is especially important. So in this way, there are various examples given, and this is very pleasing to meditate on the beauty of nature and compare it to different aspects of Krishna consciousness. It gives us insight and enlightenment and helps us to progress on the path of spiritual life. And Srila Prabhupada, of course, he wrote that book based on this chapter, The Light of the Bhagavad, and it has proved to be a very effective preaching tool in China especially. Ek Chakra was telling me that recently they've concluded a deal with some printer in China, you know, that he'll publish a large quantity of those books for distribution in the Chinese market, in the bookshops and so forth. So Prabhupada took that opportunity of this chapter to have that nice book, a pictorial book. There are many beautiful pictures, and it's a novel way of preaching Krishna consciousness. Novel way, but it comes from the Bhagavata. Okay, any question or comment? Yeah.
You were talking about hippies before. Prabhupada, he said to his devotees to stop preaching to the hippies at one stage. What happened then? What came about then?
I'm not sure of the context.
My understanding was that at some stage in his con, the early stages of Prabhupada, he said to stop preaching so much to the hippies, and he wanted more academic type people.
Well, I don't remember a blanket instruction like that. Can you, Narahari?
Sorry, I didn't.
He said at one stage Prabhupada told his disciples to stop preaching to the hippies and just to preach more to academic people, but I said I can't remember any blanket instruction like that. There might have been some specific place or some specific time Prabhupada said that, but I never heard of that myself. Yeah, I mean there was like no announcement that went around the movement, you know, anything like that. So yeah, I'd have to see the content, maybe someone knows, yeah?
I have read that one of the teachers saying, or the Prabhupada saying that we don't preach to intelligentsia, then the society will collapse.
Yeah. He wanted definitely, you know, preaching in universities, preaching to the scientific community, established Bhaktivedanta Institute, no question about that. But I never heard that he said don't preach to hippie, because so many devotees came from hippie background.
You also mentioned the word distress, that the maybe Vrindavan
maybe it's the pulses, or a feeling of distress. So if one is bothered in the process of Krishna consciousness, one should be happy, then someone might say, well, what's the point? Because the most liberated persons are also feeling some kind of distress.
Well, I mean, you know, that's just on a spiritual level. It's not a mundane distress, and we can't compare it like that. It's a certain type of spiritual emotion, so it's also a kind of bliss. So we shouldn't take it as a, you know, just a distress that we feel in the material world. It's a heightening of their Krishna consciousness.
Now, in this chapter, Sukadeva Goswami is like pointing out, you know, the features of the autumn season in Vrindavan, and then drawing comparisons with aspects of the philosophy. So, is there any special significance in the comparisons, or just random comparisons?
Any special significance in what?
In these comparisons that he's making, or are they just random comparisons?
I don't know about random, but I mean there's significance in the sense that, you know, he's making different preaching points.
So does it go beyond that? Because we see, like, there's a book that Bhagavan Thakur wrote where he analyzes all the different themes in Krishna's Vrindavan Leela and points out how they represent all these different things.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like because the Dharma is, you know, fully cognizant, obviously these different things that are going on there aren't just like random occurrences, not just the weather and all that sort of stuff. It seems like there's, you know, a lot of deep significance in all these different.
Well, there could be, but I haven't seen an analysis of it per se. Okay, Hare Krishna. Grantaraj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki, Srila Prabhupada, Ki, Om.